Well, in 1965, a 22-year-old American student activist called Paul Potter wrote the following words. He said, "The incredible war in Vietnam has provided the razor, the terrifying, sharp, cutting edge that has finally severed the last vestige of illusion that morality and democracy are the guiding principles of American foreign policy." And in 1965, and for many years afterwards, tens of thousands of students and young workers and people across the globe agreed with him. They felt that the war in Vietnam, with all of the images that were spilling out across the world of children burned by napalm, of villages destroyed by Agent Orange, of a whole country devastated by bombs and destruction, that had revealed to them the underlying reality of what American empire and what the American state was actually about. The Vietnam War was undeniably the political and moral question of a generation. And I'm sure many of us feel exactly the same about the war on Gaza, that it has revealed for us all to see the deep and structural horrific reality of what capitalism in the 20th and 21st century has in store for us. So I wanted to talk tonight about some of the realities of 21st century capitalism and what we can look to in the future as to what it might actually provide for us. Firstly, I think what the war on Gaza has actually revealed is that capitalism is a very brutal system. In school or in lots of popular media, we're sort of taught about many of the historic horrors of the 20th century. So many of us grew up learning about the mustard gas of World War I, or the trenches, or the many, many varied horrors of the destruction of European cities or the concentration camps of World War II. But to the extent that these imperialist wars are kind of discussed much, the brutalities are often kind of taught as a necessary part of the kind of construction of a nation. They're often taught as though they're part of a kind of wonderful history, a glorious history, in fact, of patriotism, of nationalism, or they're kind of taught as though they were aberrations of some kind of 20th century mania. You know, we're often taught, and I've just been reading actually many of the high school and primary school textbooks that talk about World War I. And this event that of Gallipoli, when you actually read about the reality of what Gallipoli was the massacre of over 7,000 young men, the age of many people in this room, the age of 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old young men who were thrust onto a beach in a country they had no idea what they were there for, and they were massacred, they were gunned down. And how was this history discussed in textbooks? It was the beginning of mateship. It was the establishment of Australianism. Aren't we all wonderfully grateful for this kind of moment of, you know, Australian glory where blood spilled on the beaches of Gallipoli? And we're supposed to be grateful for that. The horrors of the concentration camps are often explained away as complete aberrations. They're just the result of the kind of hypnotic personality of Hitler or the particular quirks of German nationalism. And I think all of these things fit together. There's this really dominant idea, in the West at least, that these were all phenomena of the past and that we can feel really comfortable that society has evolved, that a lot of things have changed. And I think Gaza, if it has done nothing else, has blown that idea completely out of the water. There is no way now that anyone can pretend that the brutality of the system and of capitalism is a thing of the past. Yeah. It is now. So I'm sure we all have many different moments where that's been brought home to us. It's been, you know, the last 6 months, I have to say, has been one of the most desperate, outraging series of months that I have ever lived through in my life. You know, we've seen just image after image, you know, whether it's the images of little Hind, who many of us would know as the small girl who was stuck in a car for over 48 hours, seeing her parents murdered in front of her, and then the people who she was calling out for, the medical staff that she was calling out for to be helping her, also murdered in front of her. And then for that to be her last images. Her last memories on this world were of the death of everyone around her. Those kind of images come home to us tonight, and over the course of the last 6 months, we've been waking up to all of them. Many of us will have seen the massacres that occurred at Al-Shifa Hospital, seen the discussions from medical staff, and not just Palestinian medical staff, but American staff, French staff, British doctors and nurses who went over there to try and help and discovered the absolute horror that was in front of them and unfolding on a daily basis. But for me, it's been the kind of little moments. For instance, I helped chair one of the last demonstrations that happened in Perth just a couple of weeks ago. And we had a speaker from Gaza who was talking about, from the stage, you know, revealing for everyone in Perth to kind of hear about the fact that a number of his cousins had been murdered just that day by the Israeli military war machine. And as he was saying that, the co-chair, a Palestinian woman, leaned over and said in quite a matter-of-fact voice, just kind of whispering quite quietly, she said, "Vashti, as he's speaking, you should also know that I just got a message that my sister has just lost her eyesight because she hasn't had enough to eat for the last week." And it's just, it's beyond belief, you know, and I'm sure we all have many, many stories that are very similar, that absolutely kind of bring home to bear the horror of what we're seeing in front of us. But I think all of this, again, is not just about the horrors of today. I think we need to also understand that what we're seeing unfold in front of us in Gaza is also about the future. In November of last year, one of the killers who took part in the 1948 massacre of Palestinians in the infamous village of Deir Yassin, a military figure called Ezra Yaqin, he was actually sent to speak to some of the Israeli brigades that were entering Gaza. And it was reported by Israeli media in quite glowing terms that he gave a very rousing speech to the troops. And a number of the kind of major news outlets of the day printed in part some of what his speech said. And this is what it said to the troops that were about to go into Gaza. He said, "Go and murder. Erase the memories of families, mothers, and children." And that kind of project, that kind of attempt at complete destruction, not just physical destruction, but emotional, political, social, and cultural destruction of an entire group of people. For many people across the world, we've been calling this ethnic cleansing. We've been rightly calling it genocide. But I think comments like Yaqin's also reveal the degree to which the butchers in the Israeli military and all of those forces that support them, and again, I think we need to include, as both May and Haider did, all of the butchers in the Australian and American governments, they do not just have today in mind, they also have the future in mind. They want to send a signal. So this war is not just about today, it is also about tomorrow. And it brings to mind a quote from the Auschwitz survivor and novelist Primo Levi. And he said, "It did not matter that they might die along the way. What really mattered was that they should not live to tell their story." And so the murder and the destruction in Gaza, it's designed to reshape the world to come. And that reshaping requires the erasure of memory. It requires the obliteration of humanity, and not just for now, but for generations. And that is the Zionist project, make no mistake about it. And it's a project which is fundamentally steeped in capitalist colonization and in modern day imperialism. And so we haven't moved on to a society where rationality solves everything, where the pen is mightier than the sword. Brutality, murder, war, and violence, these are not part of society's past. They are part and parcel of capitalism's now and future.